Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening live to Aquatic Wetline Radio Show with your host, the aquatic man himself, Aqua Alex. Aquatic Wetline is your one-stop radio show for everything freshwater, including cichlids, catfish, oddballs, lakos, and much more. Plus, we will be discussing saltwater and reptiles. Aquatic Wetline is your original fish keeper podcast that started it all for the fish keepers. What is on the aquatic discussion tonight? Let's dive down into the Aquatic Wetline headquarters and find out. Here's your host, Aqua Alex. Take it away, Alex. Aquatic Wetline is brought to you by Hari Dales USA. School of Fish, Inc., Fish Frenzy Tropical Fish, and Blue View Aquatic. Don't forget to head to your local fish store or pet shop to pick up some Hikari products, such as our famous Hikari BioPure frozen foods, which include delicious treats such as bloodworms, mysa shrimp, brine shrimp, and more. If you live in Western Massachusetts, be sure to stop by School of Fish, Inc. and Fish Frenzy Tropical Fish for the finest quality in freshwater and saltwater livestock, fish tanks, and more. Now, let's get on with the podcast. Remember, you can download today's podcast via iTunes or by simply going to blogtalkradio.com/AquaAlex. Now, Aqua Alex, take it away.
Happy Easter from all of us at the Aquatic Wetline to all of you listening right now to this show. Oscar Alex really hopes you guys have a fantastic Easter. Don't forget to purchase your fish some delicious Hikari goodies from your local fish store or pet store. Hikari offer some fantastic treats such as frozen bloodworms, frozen brine shrimp, or even some delicious pellets such as Hikari Cichlid Gold. So offer your fish the finest quality products with Hikari this Easter. And if you're from Western Massachusetts, check out School of Fish Inc. right here in Springfield, Massachusetts for some wonderful aquarium equipment and aquarium fish in both freshwater and saltwater. So once again, Happy Easter to all of our listeners. Now, let's get on to the big fat Easter Bunny, Oscar Alice Cardinelli, live from Springfield, Mass.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Aquatic Wetline Live. I'm your host, Oscar Alex Cardinelli, and thank you so much for being here on tonight's episode of the Aquatic Wetline, whether you're listening live or listening in the archive. I really appreciate you listening to today's show here on Blog Talk Radio. I've got a fantastic episode coming your way tonight. Now, tonight's episode is going to help a lot of beginners out in the fish keeping hobby, and that's my goal tonight. My goal is to educate all the newbies stepping in the aquarium hobby, and I want you guys to learn about the freshwater fish keeping hobby so you don't make any mistakes. I see a lot of mistakes being made out in the Facebook fish groups and fish forums, so I decided to do a show to help some of these newbies and beginners in the fish keeping hobby avoid these mistakes and enjoy the aquarium hobby, because more times than not, a beginner is going to make a mistake, whether it be a small mistake or a critical mistake, and they want to leave the hobby. So we're here tonight to prevent that. But before we get started, I want to welcome my wonderful co-host back to the Aquatic Wetline. He's had a small vacation, but he's back with us here on the Aquatic Wetline, and I'm very proud to have him as a co-host. He's a personal friend of mine, and he's just a nice gentleman. So let's welcome our co-host, Oscar Man Jeff. Welcome to the show, Jeff. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, Alex, and thanks for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm very happy to have you back as a co-host here weekly on the Aquatic Wetline.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Hopefully I get better at this.
You do a fantastic job. You're going to get better as time goes on. I can tell you're going to do a fantastic job here on the Aquatic Wetline.
Awesome.
All right, so let's go ahead and get started here because we've got a lot to talk about. Now, today's agenda is something like this. We're going to have a discussion on things beginners need to know about entering in the fish keeping hobby. And then we're going to talk about good fish for beginners, how to properly acclimate fish, and things to know when buying fish from your local fish store or pet store, and much more. The first half of the show is going to be me and Jeff talking about things beginners should know, and the second half of the show will be on buying fish, acclimating fish, and good fish for beginners. Now, don't forget, if you have any live questions and you're listening live to the show, you can call in at 1-347-989-8142. Again, the number to call in live if you have any questions you want to ask to today's show, the number to call in is 1-347-989-8142. Jeff and I would love to answer your questions. So if you're listening live to the show, you got a question, don't be hesitant. Go ahead and call in 1-347-989-8142, and we'll answer your question. So if you're a beginner and listening to the show, go ahead and dial in 1-347-989-8142. And if you're an expert in the aquarium hobby and you have some advice for beginners, that's great as well. You can call in at 1-347-989-8142. All right, well, since we've got a lot to talk about, let's go ahead and get started. So I'll answer any calls if they come in, but we're going to go ahead and talk for a while because we've got a lot of information to discuss tonight. But before we go straight to the information, I want to bring some fun to this show. So, Jeff, I know I was a big help when you first got started in the aquarium hobby. You have told me countless times that Aquatic Wetline was a huge help for you getting started in the hobby. I take a lot of pride in that. You see, my goal is to help the beginners, and you are living proof that not only do I help beginners, but I make them very successful in the aquarium hobby. You raising your baby Oscars to 7-plus inches, you knowing the fact they need a 125-gallon aquarium, and you now venturing into the rarer species is living proof. So with that in mind, we do care to explain how the Aquatic Wetline and myself has helped you as a beginner.
Yes, Alex. The Aquatic Wetline has helped me as a beginner. It's taught me how to maintain a healthy fish tank. It's taught me what fish I can keep with what fish can go in what tank, and just taught me a lot of stuff on how to keep a successful aquarium.
That's awesome. I'm glad to have helped you. You're a great man and a great fish keeper, so it's awesome.
Thank you. Alex, I'm curious, how did you get into the aquarium hobby? How did you learn so much about fish?
Well, I was born into the hobby. My dad had been keeping fish way before I was born. He had fish tanks before he met my mother, which is very cool. Believe it or not, he was a fellow Oscar cichlid lover, too, but then he met some of the other aggressive cichlids like red devils, mitises, dove-eyes, maniquinsons, etc. So when I was born, there were fish tanks all over the house. I grew up seeing fish tanks. I quickly fell in love with the aquarium hobby. Now, as a kid, I was going to the fish store with my dad very often, and it was fun, and seeing all the fish was awesome as a kid. I learned a lot as a kid by asking questions to our local fish store owner, who happens to be Dave from School of Fish, Inc., which is one of Aquatic Wetline's sponsors. Then, at the age of 13, I decided it was the right time to enter the aquarium hobby. Now, they said many times here on the Aquatic Wetline, I got a 55-gallon aquarium and got some Oscars, Red Devil, Pacus, and Plecos. But my dad, being the hobbyist that he was, quickly made me return the Red Devil, Pacus, one Oscar, and one Pleco. Needless to say, after that day, I was glued on Google for hours upon hours doing research on aquarium fish. Matter of fact, I'd log on to the computer back then just to look up fish and join all the fish forums and such. I joined forums, I joined fish room chats, and I met some wonderful, nice fish keepers and some not-so-nice know-it-alls, but I learned a lot about fish. The key to learning in this hobby is to do research. Any hobby, you learn a lot by doing research. So after doing months of research, I got a 150-gallon aquarium and was about to keep Oscars, Black Bar, Silver Dollars, and all the other big fish that I had. So I was able to keep a lot of beautiful specimen of fish in a 150-gallon aquarium. And I had Oscars, Black Bar, Silver Dollars, Arowanas, Flagtail, Petrel Lotus, and things like that. But I am still learning today, but I am very thankful to have been born into this hobby. Not too many people can say that they were born in the aquarium hobby.
Yeah, that's awesome that you and your dad enjoyed a hobby that you both enjoyed together.
Yes, I definitely appreciate that, and I like it. It's a cool thing to have a father and son bond there.
Yeah. Okay, now, Alex, let's say a person comes over to your house and loves your fish tanks, which have a very nice Oscars in them, and the person then becomes fascinated with aquariums and wants to get involved in the hobby. What would you tell the person? Explain in full detail to me and all the listeners of the Aquatic Wetline what you would do.
Okay, great question, Jess. That's actually a very good question. Now, I would discuss the work that goes into keeping an aquarium, which would be water changes, keeping proper levels, which would be a pH of 6.8 to 7.2, and depending on the species of fish, if this person wants to get into African cichlids, the pH would need to be 7.8 to 8.2. Then I would do tons and tons of research with that person, educating that person on what they need to know about the aquarium hobby, and show them how to handle the aquarium hobby. And then I would physically help them set up their first aquarium. I would do this so in case they decide that they love the hobby and they want another aquarium, they know how to set up their own aquarium. Then I would take them to the local fish store and show them the fish and have them pick out some fish they like and tell them the size aquarium they need. I might do this before they get their aquarium, or I might do this after they get their aquarium. If they get a tank after I take them to the fish store, then obviously the fish they chose can go in that aquarium. But if they got a tank before I brought them to the fish store, I would make sure that they get fish that's perfect for that size aquarium. This way there's no problems with fish outgrowing a tank or anything that does not belong inside the aquarium doesn't go in there, yada yada. All right. And then I would show them how to cycle an aquarium. I would show them how to do water changes and feed the fish and such. Now, I am a firm believer in the quote, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. Now, if I teach this person how to feed their fish, how to do water changes, how to check levels once or twice, they're going to be able to do it themselves. And they'll be able to enjoy the aquarium hobby and have fun with it, because having someone feed your fish and do all your water changes and check your water levels isn't really fun. It could be if you're a lazy person, but I think doing water changes and feeding my own fish and checking my own levels is more fun for me. I actually like personally feeding my fish. I really do enjoy that. I'd probably be ashamed if I had someone else feeding my fish for me. I think it's really fun. So I would teach them one or two times how to do it, and then they can do it themselves and do it for a lifetime, which is really, really good. And finally, I mentioned this a couple times before when I answered this question, but I'll mention it one more time. I would make sure they have the proper fish and proper-sized aquarium. So, yeah, that's what I would do. But luckily, no one has come up to me and asked about getting into the aquarium hobby yet, but I'm pretty sure down the road I will have someone come up to me and ask about entering the aquarium hobby, and I'll be sure to help them enter the aquarium hobby.
Well, that's awesome, and I can attest to that because you've helped me along the way. Okay, so Alex, could you now explain to us the things beginners need to know about the fish hobby?
sure, it is a great pleasure that I'm going to announce things that beginners should know about the aquarium hobby. The first thing beginners should know about the aquarium hobby is this hobby can become addictive. You will get addicted to the aquarium hobby. There's no ifs, ands, or buts to it. You will want to get more fish tanks and more fish. Trust me on that. I am never satisfied with one aquarium. I want more, and I want more fish. I'm never satisfied with one fish. I always want more fish, and I know you will too. You will go out and buy this fish and that fish and this fish and that fish. Trust me on that. I know your guys are going to do it. But you will need to do research. Research is the key in this aquarium hobby. And I know I say this a lot on the aquatic wetline because research is very important. I can't stress enough how important research is in the aquarium hobby. Research the size of your aquarium. Research the fish that can live in that size aquarium. Research everything about the aquarium hobby so that you can learn a lot and enjoy this hobby. Because like I said earlier in the show, mistakes really, really make you feel bad. And I want to save you from feeling bad. I want you to enjoy the hobby. So do a lot of research so you can learn a lot and prevent some mistakes like buying pacus and monster fish and putting them in a 20 or 30 gallon aquarium. Do your research, friends and folks and fish heads, because research is the key to preventing mistakes, and research always is going to teach you something. So make sure you do your research and do plenty of research. And don't always believe what the pet store or fish store employees tell you, because 95% of the time, all the fish store and retail employees care about is getting a profit. It's sad, but it's true. All they care about is getting a profit. And some of them live off of that paycheck, so they're going to do anything to sell fish. But researching the fish you are going to buy is going to prevent any of those unfortunate circumstances. All right. Now, of course, you will need a fish tank stand, filters. Now, the key with having a great aquarium is overfiltration is key. It's never, never bad to overfilter your aquarium. Like I said, having too much filtration is a good thing. Now, if you have a 55-gallon aquarium, for example, you're going to want to run about 110 gallons of filtration. That's going to keep your water clean and catch all the waste that goes into the water. So overfiltration is good. You're going to need heaters, a hood, and a light. All right. Now that we got the equipment out of the way, we're going to talk about the most important thing. You cannot simply add water to the fish tank, plug in the heater, and filter and add fish. You can't do that because it's going to harm your fish. You need to cycle your aquarium first. Yes, it's that important. You need to cycle your aquarium. And luckily, I'm here to tell you tonight how to cycle your aquarium in case you don't know how to cycle an aquarium. So here's Oscar Alex telling you how to cycle your aquarium. Cycling an aquarium properly is the single most important aspect of starting a new aquarium. Most fish store workers will tell you to let the aquarium run for a week or so and then add fish. This, unfortunately, is bad advice. Letting a fish tank run will not properly cycle the tank. Cycling means growing the correct bacteria needed to consume the toxins, ammonia, your fish put out through waste. Growing these bacteria does take time, 1 to 3 months. It cannot happen in 1 week. There are different methods of cycling an aquarium, and colonizing those bacteria in the path you choose is entirely your decision. This will be the most important choice you will make for your new aquarium. So research deeply and choose wisely. Now, let's talk about the two different cycling methods that are commonly used in the aquarium hobby. The first is fish recycle, and the second is fish in cycle. The two basic methods are fish recycling and fish in cycling. There are pros and cons to both forms, so do your research, weigh your options, and select a method that fits best with your knowledge, experience level, and willingness to be committed to your aquarium. Keep in mind that both methods are valid. However, fish in cycling requires daily commitment to your tank to ensure the safety and well-being of your fish. If you're not able to commit to potentially daily water testing and water changes for 1 to 3 months, please consider fish less cycling. Let's talk about fish less cycling pros. So here are the pros for fish less cycling. No fish are at risk or exposed to dangerous toxins. Very little maintenance during the process. Limited water changes, adding pure ammonia, and testing your parameters is all that's involved. The ability to usually fully stock your tank once the tank is cycled instead of adding fish very slowly over time. Fish with cycling cons. It requires patience, and I'm going to be honest, I'm not a guy with patience. And a lot of the beginners and a lot of the fish keepers out there don't have patience, so a fish with cycle is probably going to be on your guys' nerves, but it is a good way to cycle an aquarium. Now, you'll have an empty fish tank sitting around for a while, so you won't be able to take pictures of it or post it on YouTube unless you heavily decorate your aquarium to suit your needs for pictures. But it's better to do this kind of cycling. That way you can fully stock your aquarium and buy fish to cycle and stock your aquarium. All right, now we're going to talk about fish in cycling pros. You can have a few fish in the tank immediately. That's right, you can stock a couple of fish in the tank immediately. I would go with some hardier species of fish like zebra danios or goldfish or some sort of hardy and cheap tetra like a black skirt tetra. Now, let's talk about the fish in cycling concerns. Fish are at risk of ammonia nitrite poisoning if not properly cared for. It requires absolute responsibility and dedication in order to keep your fish healthy. Water changes and testing daily are often required. Also, there is no such thing as too many water changes during fish in cycling as long as you are using temperature-matched conditioned water. You can speed up cycling aquarium by using prime. That's a good way to speed up cycling. But the only time I would use prime is if I'm using seeded filters that have seeded bacteria in them. In other words, if you're using filters that are coming from a tank that was in use before you put it on the new tank, that's going to help cycle your aquarium a lot faster. All right, the final thing I think beginners should know is not to just go out and buy fish. Do your research, because if you're going out and buying a monster fish, for all you know. So do research before purchasing any fish. That way you'll be safe from any errors or mistakes or buying a fish that's going to outgrow your tank. Do research before you buy any fish that you're considering getting. And that is things beginners should know about the fish hobby before they enter into the fish hobby. All right, Jeff, could I have you talk about mistakes beginners making this hobby for us?
Yeah, no problem. One of the most common mistakes in the fish-keeping hobby is not cycling your tank. You go out, get a fish, plop it in some water, and call it a day. This common mistake can lead to fish illnesses and even fish death. The next mistake is overstocking. This means too many fish for too small a space. Lots of people find a million fish they'd like and want to keep, but they only have a 10 to 20 gallon tank. And the next would be overfeeding. Overfeeding fish can lead to health issues and ammonia spikes. Undercleaning, having a tank comes with responsibility. You're responsible for keeping the fish's environment clean and free of toxins. Do weekly partial 25 to 50% water changes and use a gravel vacuum to get leftover food. Never clean all the gravel or the filter at once. Test your water weekly for ammonia, nitrite, and nitrate. Ammonia should be zero, nitrate should be zero, nitrite should be zero, and nitrate should be less than 40 ppm. Water from the tap needs to be conditioned to get rid of chlorine and chloramines and heavy metals. Make sure the temperature of the replacement water is close to the water in the tank as you can get it.
Awesome job, Jeff. So you did a fantastic job discussing the common mistakes in the fish keeping hobby. Well, what an awesome start to this great show. We are now going to take a quick commercial break. During this commercial break, we're also going to hear a quick song for your listening pleasures. Coming up next here live on the Aquatic Wetline, Jeff and I are going to have a discussion on the best fish for beginners, what to look for when buying fish, and how to properly acclimate fish into their brand new aquariums. So stick around because we've got a discussion on the best fish for beginners, what to look for in buying fish, and how to properly acclimate fish. And don't forget, you can call in live at 1-347-989-8142 with any questions you've got for Jeff or I. We'll be happy to answer your questions. Now, tonight's commercial break is being sponsored by Hikari Sales USA, School of Fish, Inc., who wants to remind anyone in Western Massachusetts who wants to get into the aquarium hobby, whether it's freshwater or saltwater, that School of Fish will help you create a show-quality aquarium and give you the expertise you need, the IAA, and Jambox. And by the way, subscribe to the International Aquatic Association on YouTube, subscribe to Aquatic Wetland on YouTube, and subscribe to Slashmaster 1989 on YouTube. All wonderful YouTube channels. All right, so let's take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to hear a song, and then we're going to have some more information on this wonderful show being hosted by Oscar Alex and Oscar me and Jeff.
Hikari offers a wide selection of aquatic diets to help you and your fishy friend find success. With more than 137 years of aquatic experience, Hikari was the originator of species-specific diets long before others thought it was important or trendy, and the first to bring unique products to fish keepers like algae wakers, the world's first diet specifically formulated for Picossinus, micropellets, the world's first micro-coated aquatic diet for tropical fish, Zaki Hikari, the world's first probiotic-enhanced diet for koi, goldfish, cichlid, and now turtles, and BioPure, the world's cleanest and most nutrition-packed frozen and freeze-dried foods, industry trendsetters when they were first introduced. When you're looking for the best aquatic diets your hard-earned money can buy for your aquatic pets, look no further than Hikari. Your fish and your wallet will be forever grateful.
School of Fish, Inc. offers everything an aquarium hobbyist in Western Massachusetts needs. We offer the best alive stock from freshwater to saltwater and everything in between. We also have the best corals and live rock. School of Fish, Inc. carries the best brands of fish food, medications, and equipment such as Hikari, Tetra, Marineland, API, and much more. Stop by and check us out today. School of Fish, Inc., located at 1865 Page Boulevard, Springfield, Massachusetts. And we can be reached at 413-543-1994. We're open Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Closed Tuesdays. Check out School of Fish, Inc. That's School of Fish, Inc. on Facebook for exclusive deals, specials, and see what's new.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Do you need advice on planter tanks? Do you need advice on community tanks? Advice on cichlids? Do you need advice on discus? Do you need advice on saltwater tanks?
Well, get over to the IAA channel now! We can help you with planted tanks, saltwater tanks, community tanks, filtration, DIY, lighting, dosing, CO2, discus, angelfish, German blue rams, African cichlids, and any other community fish. Subscribe to the IAA channel today!
Thank you, IAA!
Choosing guitar accessories can be expensive and time-consuming, but it doesn't have to be. Jambox will deliver the necessities right to your front door. Jambox is great for players of any age and all experience levels. Try new brands, new products, and get your jam on. Order a Jambox today at www.jamboxcanada.ca.
Aquatic Euphoria, a podcast about fish. All things fish and everything fish. Let William T. and his co-hosts dive deep into your tank and come up a great fish species. Topic for a great show. Check out Aquatic Euphoria today for an enjoyable fish show. William T. and his co-hosts do it all. Saltwater, freshwater, yes, plants, and even specials on other interesting topics. Surf over there, right after this wonderful show here on Blog Talk Radio.
Dakota Aquatics Plus is the next best aquarium keeping show here on Blog Talk Radio. Your host of this show, Andrew, will dive deep into the topics of freshwater and saltwater fish, reptiles, and other pets. Dakota Aquatics Plus is live every Saturday and is a show that you will enjoy. So check Andrew out. blogtalkradio.com/Dakota Aquatics Plus.
Did you know that William T. has a new podcast on Blog Talk Radio? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, kids, teens, and in-betweens. Epiphany is a podcast about revelations, sudden awarenesses, and innuendos. William T. will discuss topic by topic, week by week, or maybe day by day. You never know with William T. This podcast is controversial at best, interesting at least. Come join William T. at www.blogtalkradio.com/EpiphanyUSA. Come hear what all the hype is about. William T. slam dunks his attitude with rants, political slurs about governmental blunders, world events, and where this world is headed from a revelational point of view. See if this podcast don't grab your fancy. Come on. What are you waiting for? Come sit beside William T. and take part in a podcast that promises to be inviting, action-packed, and just plain crazy at times. Come hear some senseless jargon and an attitude from the shrewd dude from South Carolina, the old man of mayhem, William T. Come on, be brave and go there right now. Well, wait until this show is over first, though.
Okay, so the first song we're going to hear tonight was requested by one of our live listeners here on the Aquatic Wetline, and a shout-out to the Fink 101. The song is being played just for you, and the name of the song is Soul Survivor by Young Jeezy, and this song is for the Fink 101. And if you and any of you, the listeners, have a song you want me to play here on Aquatic Wetline during my commercial breaks, send me the name of the song and the artist of the song. If you know it, then I'll play it on our next episode of the Aquatic Wetline. Anyways, let's all enjoy this wonderful song, and we will be right back here on the Aquatic Wetline discussing things beginners should know and fish that are good for beginners.
Convict.
Three. Two.
Akon and Young Jeezy. Trying to take it easy. Only way to go. And so.
If you're looking for me, I'll be on the track. I'm a thing, can't possibly sitting on a track down. Cause I'm a rider.
Yeah.
Soul survivor.
Yeah.
Everybody know the game don't stop. Tryna make it to the top. For your
yeah.
If you a rider,
yeah.
Only a soul survivor.
Tonight I can't sleep, we living in hell. First they give us the work, then they throw us in jail. World crew, trip, yeah, I'm trafficking the white. Please, Lord, don't let me go to jail tonight. Who me? I'm a soul survivor. Ask about him in the street, the boy G's around. 100 grand on my wrist, yeah, life sucks. Club dog, I'd rather count a million bucks.
If you're looking for me, I'll be on the block with my thing, can't possibly sitting on a trap now. Cause I'm a rider.
Yeah.
I'm a soul survivor.
Yeah.
Everybody know the game don't stop. Trying to make it to the top for your get now. If you a rider.
Yeah.
I'm a soul survivor.
Another day, another dollar. Same block, same drop, same grill. I guess we got the same dream. Or is it the same nightmare? We let the doves do it for us. We don't cry tears. We don't buzz. A mailman got a time. Birds at the judge. I'm knee deep in the game, so when it's time to re-up, I'm knee deep in the. Real talk, look, I'm telling you, man. If you get jammed up, don't mention my name. Forgive me, Lord, I know I ain't living right. Gotta feed the block, starve that night. And it's a dare day, it never gets old. When I was a juvenile, stuck to the G-code. This ain't a rap song, this is my life. But the hood was the battlefield and I earned strife.
If you're looking for me, I'll be on the block for my thing. Can't possibly sitting on a track now. Cause I'm a rider.
Yeah.
I'm a soul survivor.
Yeah.
Everybody know the game don't stop. Trying to make it to the top for your get now. If you a rider.
Yeah.
I'm a soul survivor.
Gotta watch every move, cause my eyes be on you. Gotta try real cool when them pies be on you. Just cause we stack paper and we ball our ranges. Them alphabet boys got us under surveillance. Like animals, they lock us in cages. This ain't the star when you put them on stages. I ain't cheap, played the hand I dealt. Try to tax the grand pearl, I went and got them myself.
Get it.
No nuts, no glory,
no glory.
My biography,
yeah,
damn right, the true story,
yeah.
The city on fire, and I didn't even
try.
Run the streets all day, I could sleep when I die,
hey.
If you're looking for me, you can find me on the block, disobeying the law. A real G, thoroughbred from the streets, pants sagging with my draw. Just keep on moving now. Just to keep on moving now. Just to keep on moving now. Just to keep on moving now. Hey. But if you're looking for me, I'll be on the block with my thing, can't possibly sitting on a track now. Cause I'm a rider.
Yeah.
I'm a soul survivor.
Yeah.
Everybody know the game don't stop. Trying to make it to the top for your get now. If you a rider.
Yeah.
I'm a soul survivor.
Hey, live listeners of the Aquatic Wetline, did you know you can call in live right now to ask any fish questions or join tonight's fish chat? Just simply dial 1-347-989-8142. You may ask any fish questions you might have or chat with us about tonight's subject. You can also ask our guests any questions you might have as well. So go ahead and call in 1-347-989-8142. Please go to a quiet location and turn off the speaker on your phone. Please wait until we see your call and bring you live. But go ahead and call in 1-347-989-8142. Give us a holla if you hear us.
You are now tuned in to the one and only fishkeeping podcast on Blog Talk Radio that started it all. With over 100 episodes, the Aquatic Wetline has something for you. What is Alex going to discuss next? Let's get back to the show to find out. Remember, You can call in anytime at 1-347-989-8142. Now, back to Aqua Alex.
We're back here live on the Aquatic Wetline. You are tuned into the best fish and things to know for beginners entering the freshwater fish keeping hobby here on the Aquatic Wetline. Oscar, Alex, and myself discuss the things you need to know before the commercial break. Now we are going to discuss best fish for beginners and what to look for when buying new fish. Don't forget to call in at 1-347-989-8142 with any questions or comments you may have. That's 1-347-989-8142. Give us a call. We love live callers.
Awesome. Very well stated, Jeff. And again, that's 1-347-989-8142. And we'll be happy to answer your wonderful questions or comments tonight. All right.
Okay,
so we had some wonderful. Oh, go ahead.
Well, Alex, can you discuss some of the fish that are good for beginners?
Yes, I certainly can. So we're going to talk about that right now. So, fish that are good for beginners. Well, all the fish that I'm going to mention are fish I feel are good for beginners. They are simply just my opinion, and I'll explain why I think they are good for beginners. So, here we go. The first fish I feel is good for beginners is the classic American fish, the betta, or betta, whatever you want to call it. I call it a betta, but you can call it whatever the hell you want to call it. It's just a classic fish that every single fish store and every single pet store is going to have. And bettas have been around for quite a while now. They are very hardy, and I think they are the perfect fish for beginners. There's quite a controversy surrounding bettas now because people feel they don't belong in a fish bowl or a 5-gallon or a 2-gallon aquarium bowl. But I obviously think it's been happening for years, and as long as people change the bowl often, it's fine. But the reason bettas are perfect for beginners is because they are a very hardy fish. And a betta will do well in a 5-gallon aquarium with a 5-gallon filter and a 5-gallon heater. That is the best option I would go with a betta. I personally, although I am behind keeping a betta in an aquarium bowl, I would never do it personally because I don't like aquarium bowls. I like aquariums. So I recommend keeping a betta in a 5-gallon aquarium. You could also do a 10-gallon aquarium or a 20-gallon aquarium. Bettas are very simple to keep, and I feel a beginner could obviously keep a betta because all you have to do with bettas is feed them, do a water change, and make sure that the water level stays clean. And that's basically it with bettas because bettas are very simple. If you wanted tank matrix bettas, I'd say a 20-gallon would be your best option. And you could have tetras, guppies, platies, mollies, and small frogs and things like that with them. And when I say small frogs, you can have African dwarf frogs with bettas. Now, the next beginner fish I think that is best for beginners is goldfish. Goldfish can be very easy and very hardy to take care of, and I think a beginner could keep some goldfish. I obviously would recommend going with the fancy goldfish, the ones that are circular shape and the ones that are smaller growing. That way these can live in a 55-gallon aquarium and bigger. Goldfish, very easy to keep. They don't require an aquarium heater. Yes, that's right. Goldfish don't require a heater, but they need superb filtration. Now, as I said before here on the Aquatic Wetline just recently, goldfish don't have a stomach, and they are going to produce a lot of waste, and they're going to eat a lot. So that's why you need superb filtration with goldfish. So keep that in mind, but they are a perfect beginner fish because they are so easy to keep. Now, the next fish that is very easy and very good for beginners to keep is danios. My gosh, there is a lot of Danios now. I remember when I first started in the aquarium hobby, there weren't that many species of Danios. Now you've got a ton of Danios. Giant Danios, zebra Danios, glow Danios, and longfin Danios. There's a whole variety of Danios right now in the aquarium hobby. And Danios are really simple to keep. I have never had a hard time keeping Danios. Very, very hardy. And I know a beginner could have no problems keeping Danios. Now, the next fish I'm going to talk about that I think is easy for beginners to keep and one of the best fish for beginners to keep are the Rasboras. Now, there are many species of Rasboras out there, and pretty much all of them can be kept by a beginner, whether it's a Scissortail Rosabar or it's a Harlequin Rosabar. A lot of them can be kept by beginners. All right, you guys are going to enjoy Rasboras or Rosabars if you keep them. They are a nice community fish, and I think a lot of the beginners tend to go with community fish, and Rasboras are perfect for a community-type tank. And we're going to talk about community tanks after we discuss fish that are good for beginners. Next, we've got tetras. Some species of tetras are good for beginners, and these would include black skirt tetras, serpae tetras, glow light tetras, bleeding heart tetras, etc. Now, if a person was keeping a very large tank, like a 75-gallon aquarium and up, silver dollars are a perfect beginner tetra because they're very hardy and can withstand almost anything. But tetras are perfect for a community aquarium, but I would stick with the smaller growing species of tetras. Again, just do your research. The next fish that are perfect for beginners are barbs. There are many species of barbs that are fine as a beginner fish. Tiger barbs, tinfoil barbs. But keep in mind, a beginner is going to require a very large tank for tinfoil barbs, and hence I don't think a beginner is going to get a huge aquarium unless they're going to be getting big fish. So pretty much I don't see a beginner going and buying tinfoil barbs if they know a tinfoil barb is going to get big. But tiger barbs, rosy red barbs, melon barbs, and all the species of barbs are pretty much very hardy enough to be kept by a beginner, and I think they are awesome fish for a beginner. And then we've got live bearers. Live bearers are the perfect fish for beginners. Why? Because they produce their own babies. The babies are born live, and this is going to build confidence for beginners. Live bearers are fish like platies, mollies, swordtails, and guppies. But live bearers are an awesome fish for beginners to keep. Even us monster fish heads say that live bearers are fish that we recommend beginners keep until they get their feet wet in the aquarium hobby. And then we say, get rid of those stupid live bearers and get a monster fish. But we will tell beginners entering the hobby to get live bearers to build confidence. Now, this is my personal opinion, but I feel that larger angelfish are a good beginner fish. Yes, that's right, larger angelfish. And the reason I say larger angelfish is because I find smaller juvenile angelfish tend to be kind of sensitive, almost discus sensitive, but not quite. Angelfish smaller than dime size tend to be really, really sensitive to water conditions and things like that. Their water really needs to be heated very well. It really needs to be clean. So you're going to have to do lots of water changes and keep the water level about 76 to 78 degrees Fahrenheit. And I feel that a beginner would not really recognize the importance of clean water for raising juvenile angelfish. But most angelfish that are sold at your fish stores and pet stores are about quarter size and or maybe bigger than quarter size. And that's the perfect size for angelfish because they're a lot hardier at that size, and they're able to withstand lots of things. But obviously, I would say angelfish are perfect for a beginner that has been in the hobby for at least 6 months, because angelfish still do require clean water and perfect water conditions, but they're hardy enough to withstand some things. So I think larger angelfish are perfect for beginners. Next, gouramis are awesome for beginners. Gouramis are like bevas in a way that they're air breathers, and they, too, can survive almost anything like a betta. But the thing with gouramis is they need filtration. They need to be in a very big tank. So I'd say a 20-gallon minimum for a gourami with beginners, but they're very hardy, and they can survive anything. So gouramis can be kept by beginners. Obviously, you're going to want some of the smaller growing species of gouramis. You're going to want to start off with a blue gourami or a gold gourami or a kissing gourami or a dwarf gourami, etc. Keep in mind that the kissing gourami is going to get about 8 to 12 inches and will require a 55-gallon aquarium at least, but it's a very hardy species of gouramis. And obviously, you want to stay away from the giant gourami, which is going to get 2 feet. No one can handle one of them because they're so darn aggressive, let alone they get huge, unless you've got a huge aquarium. All right, Corydoras catfish are one of the catfish I'd recommend for beginners. Cory cats are awesome. I love Cory cats. Even as a monster fish keeper, I have to say I have a soft place in my heart for Corydoras catfish. Almost all the species of Cory cats are able to be kept by beginners. There are a few species of Corys that I personally would not recommend for beginners, such as Sturbei Corydoras, but there are over 100 species of Corys out there, and almost all of them can be kept by beginners. They're hardy enough to be kept by beginners, and most catfish are very hardy anyways, so Corydoras can be kept by beginners. Plecostomus can be kept by beginners, but keep in mind, most species of plecos either get huge or require driftwood and require vegetation in their diets. So keep that in mind as a beginner. But doing your research on plecos will show you what kind of pleco you can have as a beginner. And I honestly recommend staying away from the common plecostomus unless you've got a really big tank to take care of it. I would recommend going with a clown pleco or a bristlenose pleco as a beginner. The clown pleco and bristlenose pleco are your best plecos to go to as a beginner because they are very easy to take care of and they only require driftwood and algae in their diet. All right, the freshwater sharks are very good for beginners. And no, the freshwater sharks aren't real sharks. They belong to the barb family or the catfish family. These sharks would include the red-tailed shark, the black shark, the rose line shark, and the bala shark. Those are all good for beginners. You notice I left out the iridescent shark, and that is because those things get ginormous. They get really huge. So I personally would never, ever, 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 ever recommend iridescent shark for beginners. But a red-tailed shark and rainbow sharks are the best sharks for beginners. Baleen sharks could be kept by a beginner as long as the beginner recognizes the fact that a baleen shark is going to get big, about 12 inches, and they like to school, and they're going to require at least a 150-gallon aquarium to a 220-gallon aquarium. All right, well, I pretty much talked about the community fish. Now, before I talk about the aggressive cichlids that are good for beginners, I want to talk about briefly having a community aquarium. Now, a community is a group of fish living together in an aquarium. And I noticed that a lot of beginners, when they enter the aquarium hobby, they want to have a community. So I like community aquariums, even as a monster fish head. So I'm going to suggest to you how to keep in a community aquarium. What you're going to want to do is get a nice substrate like a black gravel or a black sand, add some artificial plants or fake plants, and cycle the aquarium. Then you're going to want to add some species of tetras. Like I said, the hardier species of tetras would be the black skirt tetras, Thirpay tetras, and a nice bleeding heart tetra. Then you can add some nice mollies, add some red-tailed sharks, add a couple of otocinculus catfish. Even though they're not really classified as a beginner fish, I've had success keeping them. My first time having a community tank, I've kept otocinculus catfish before. And you can add a nice cichlid like an angelfish or a crib, and you've got a beautiful community aquarium. You don't want to add large growing fish into the community aquarium, so make sure you do your research. All right. Now we'll talk about the aggressive cichlids. I know some people enter the aquarium hobby because they've seen Oscars and they've seen aggressive cichlids on YouTube. And then they automatically realize they're going to need a 55-gallon aquarium or a 75-gallon aquarium or even bigger. I've seen a couple of beginners get a 125 for Oscars, like my good friend Jeff over here. He's a great man. But anyways, let's talk about some cichlids that can be kept by beginners, provided these beginners know they need a very big aquarium. So a good beginner cichlid is a convict cichlid. Why? Because convict cichlids are very easy cichlid to care for, very hardy, and they breed a lot. They're going to build beginner's confidence. So I feel convict cichlids are perfect for beginners. Next, we've got Jack Dempsey cichlids, one of my personal favorite cichlids. Very hardy, very colorful, and very nice looking. They can handle almost anything, and I think a beginner with a very large tank could keep a Jack Dempsey cichlid. Next, we've got Severum cichlids, another one of my personal favorite cichlids. Severum cichlids hail from South America. Very hardy, can handle pH from 7.2 and a temperature of 68 degrees Fahrenheit to 72 degrees Fahrenheit. And most fish keepers are going to have temperatures around that and a pH level around that. So I feel Severums are very good for beginners, provided that beginner knows how big Severums get. Now, the next fish is my personal favorite fish of all time, and I feel a beginner could keep Oscar cichlids. You've heard me say this on my Oscar Cichlid Keeper's Hour here on the Aquatic Wetline, but yes, I feel that beginners could keep Oscars. But beginners must realize that Oscars get big. They get 12 to 14 inches in length. They eat a lot, they poop a lot, and they need superb filtration. But if a beginner realizes this, they can keep Oscars. If they get a bigger aquarium than a 55-gallon, they need at least a 75-gallon aquarium, up to a 125-gallon aquarium, and they can have a beautiful Oscar fish. And I definitely would recommend getting an Oscar for a beginner if they're looking for fish with a good personality, because Oscars have wonderful personality. And the last fish I'm going to tell you, I'm going to dread about telling you about this fish because I honestly don't like this fish. I think they're kind of boring. I don't like this species of fish, but a lot of people enter the hobby for this fish, and that is African cichlids. Now, African cichlids are very nice. They're very colorful, but they have a lot of aggression, but they're easy to take care of. You just have to have the right pH for them, and you have to have the right water for them. But you can keep them. Just do research on African cichlids. And by the way, beginners, it is pronounced cichlids, not chicklids or chicklets or anything. It's cichlids. It's pronounced like sick, and as in S-I-C-K, lid, as in L-I-D, cichlid. So I thought that would be great information for you guys to recognize. It's pronounced cichlid. All right. Well, that's my take on fish that are good for beginners in the freshwater side of the hobby. We'll talk about good beginner fish for saltwater in its own show, but today's show is focusing on the good fish that are good for beginners in freshwater. There are tons of fish that can be kept by beginners. The key is to do your research and find out what is right for you. And I know Jeff has some fish that he thinks is good for beginners. He's been sitting there patiently waiting to tell you guys what fish he thinks are good for beginners. So, Jeff, what fish do you think are good for beginners?
Well, you name most of them, like rasboras and live bears. Now, the good thing about the live bears is you can have your tank ready. You can have a healthy aquarium with guppies and such in it. And then when you do get your Oscars, you got a food source for them.
Good point, Jeff.
I'm just kidding. I would never do that. And then cichlid-wise, I kind of have to say, like you said, convicts and Jack Dempsey's and Oscars. I'd probably have to say for the absolute beginner, it would have to be the firemouth.
Oh, that's a good one. I forgot about that one. Firemouth is a very hardy species of fish.
Okay. Now I would like to talk about things you should do when you're going to be buying fish from the fish or pet store, or things you should consider when thinking about buying fish from the fish store. Make sure fish are active. Healthy fish will be active. They should be full of life, brightly colored, and not be thin. Catfish, plecos, loaches, and other bottom dwellers who hide should scatter and swim really fast when the fish store employee removes the rock or decoration in which they are hiding. Next, make sure the fish are free from ick or any other disease. Never ever, and I mean never ever, buy a fish with ick, as it could cause your fish to die. Ask the employees to feed the fish. Ask them what the fish has been eating and ask them to show you. You are buying the fish, so it's their responsibility to show you that the fish eats. Choose the biggest, most active fish in the tank. This is a sign that the fish has been eating and could defend itself. If an employee drops the fish on the floor, yes, some employees will drop the fish on the floor, then have the employee catch you another one. Fish hitting the floor could cause injuries and even more stress unless it was the last fish. I wouldn't recommend purchasing a fish that hits the floor. I recommend going to the fish store last. Do not go buy fish, then go shopping, out to eat or whatever. Do your shopping and stuff first, then buy fish. This way your fish are less time in the bag and there will be less stress. However, if you live miles away from the fish store and know that your fish will be in a bag longer than a half an hour, have the employee add plenty of oxygen in the bag. Make sure the employee does not bag more than 3 fish per bag. This is extremely important as the fish waste could be extremely dangerous. This is true with Corydoras catfish as they release toxins which can kill them. If you are buying corys, have the employee run a net across the tank stressing the corys out as this will help remove the toxins. So that's the basic list of things to do when buying fish. Of course, you should do all this with researching and know the technology age. You can even research a fish right from the fish store with your smartphone. Alex, what's your thoughts on this?
Great job, Jeff. You pretty much hit the nail on the head, and I don't feel I have much more to add to that. You did a really good job talking about things to know about purchasing fish at a fish store. One thing I will say is most fish and pet stores generally will feed their fish towards closing time. So my best advice would be to know what time your fish store or pet store closes and head there towards closing time. Heck, for me personally, my local fish store, School of Fish closes at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every day, and I head there at about 6:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and a few times I've seen them feeding their fish. That's when I buy the fish so that I know that they are eating. So that's a great topic, Jeff. I'm glad you brought that up on tonight's episode of the Aquatic Wetline. All right. So now the final topic we will discuss is acclimating the fish that you have bought. This is a very important topic, and I get this question asked a lot when I do shows on the Aquatic Wetline. When am I going to cover how to acclimate fish to your aquarium? Well, the answer is I'm going to cover it tonight on the Aquatic Wetline. I'm going to cover it right now, so pay attention. All right, so you went out and bought some fish, and the store told you to acclimate the fish by floating the bag in a tank for 15 minutes and then release them into your aquarium. Right? Wrong. The only thing floating the bag accomplishes is that it brings the water in the bag closer to the temperature of the water in your aquarium.
We need to be concerned about more than just the temperature. The aquarium water chemistry is just as important as the temperature when it comes to acclimating fish. Don't be afraid to ask the fish clerk who tests the store's tank water for you. They shouldn't mind testing your water right in front of you. They're trying to sell fish, right? Ask them for, at minimum, the pH, ammonia, nitrite, and nitrate readings. When they get home, test your own water to see how much the two sets of results differ. This can provide you with some insight into how slowly and for how long you should acclimate your fish. There are a few different recommended methods for how to acclimate your fish, and we'll talk about each of these methods right here, right now on the Aquatic Wetline. The most common tropical fish acclimation methods are the floating bag method, the bucket method, and the drip method. So the top three are the floating bag method, the bucket method, and the drip method. Now let's talk about the floating bag method. This is probably the most common fish acclimation method, and it works well. You just need to be careful when floating a bag full of unknown water in your tank. Ideally, you're floating the bag in a previously set up quarantine tank, but sadly, many new hobbyists don't use a quarantine tank. After you have been in the hobby for a while and experience any sort of fish disease outbreak, you'll soon come to realize the importance of a simple quarantine tank. After you leave the fish store, you will want to go straight home to avoid ammonia acclimating in the bag in the form of fish waste. Once you get home, open with the top of the bag and remove about 25% of water from the bag. Replace this water with the same amount of water from your tank. Float the bag in your tank and bring down the hood opening on the open end of the bag to help keep the bag secure. Every 10 minutes, add about one measuring cup. Use less if the bag is smaller of your tank water to the bag. Repeat this process for about an hour. After an hour has passed, use a small net to get the fish out of the bag and gently place the fish into your tank. The main idea here is to slowly get the fish used to your tank water acclimated. Do not dump the bag water into your aquarium. If you do, you risk exposing your tank to any parasites or diseases that were in the dealer's tanks. Some fish may be difficult to net while in the bag, and you definitely don't want to damage the fish while trying to net them. If you are having difficulty netting the fish, get a large bowl. A large salad bowl works well. And carefully pour the bag water into the net, allowing the bowl to catch the water. You could bypass the bowl altogether and do it over a sink. And make sure that the drain plug is in place just in case you miss the fish with the net. By slowly adding small amounts of water from the tank, we are slowly acclimating the fish. And that is the floating bag method, the most common acclimation method in the aquarium hobby. All right, we're now going to discuss the bucket method. This fish acclimation method is basically the same as the floating bag method, but instead of floating the bag in the tank, you're putting it back inside a clean bucket instead. The bucket method is better than the floating bag method because you don't have to worry about any of the bag water entering your aquarium. Open the top of the bag and remove about 25% of the water from the bag. Replace this water with the same amount of water from your fish tank. Every 10 minutes, add about one measuring cup of water to the bag. Repeat this process for about an hour. After an hour has passed, use a small net to get the fish out of the bag and gently place the fish into your tank. And finally, we've got the drip method. The drip acclimation method is recommended for most saltwater fish and invertebrates because they can be more sensitive to pH, specific gravity, and other water chemistry changes. To do the drip method, you're going to need a bucket, a vegetable clip with a suction cup for holding the tube in the tank, and a length of air pump tubing that is long enough to extend from your tank to the bucket. Place one end of the tube into the veggie clip, and then place the veggie clip into your tank. Tie a knot in the tubing to regulate the amount of water flow coming out of your aquarium. get the siphon going, and place the other end of the tubing into the bag in the bucket. You'll want the slow drip, drip, drip going. Aim for drips every 1 to 2 seconds. If you're having trouble using a knot to regulate the drip rate, any type of strong clip should work. Vice grips, which are locking pliers, or C-clamps would work well. How long you do the drip method depends on what you're acclimating to the fish tank. If you're doing this method for most freshwater species, you should be okay doing it for an hour or so before introducing the fish to your tank. If you're doing this for a saltwater fish or saltwater invertebrate, you might want to take 2 or 3 hours for this acclimation procedure. If you have a good pet shop and you trust their advice, ask for and follow the recommendations on the amount of time needed for acclimation. Acclimating new fish to your aquarium is a critical step and should not be taken lightly. Getting into the habit of using proper acclimation methods is a good way to ensure your long-term success in this wonderful hobby. All right, so the acclimation method that I use is actually the floating bag method. I've been trained with that. I've been using that since my dad taught me about the fish-keeping hobby, and I actually have had success using the floating bag method. I've never let the aquarium water from the bag into my tank. In other words, I never let the fish store water into my aquarium, so I've always had success using the floating bag method. So I'm just curious, Jeff, what kind of acclimation method do you use?
I use the floating bag method, just like you said, but I actually, one time I did accidentally get the fish water into my aquarium. I had my Oscar sitting there, and I didn't think about it. I got an angelfish, so I floated my bag in the Oscar tank, and I turned around, and the Oscars tore the bag open, and all the water went in there.
That's pretty funny. I love Oscar's behavior.
Yeah, but I do use the floating bag method. Like you said, I'll empty out 25% of the water, add some water out of my tank, do it every 10 to 15 minutes for an hour, and then enter the fish into the 55-gallon quarantine tank.
Awesome. You're a great fish keeper, and you're a great co-host. You did a fantastic job tonight, sir.
Yeah, hopefully I get better in the future. I'm just kind of nervous tonight.
You will, sir. You did a great job. I couldn't tell you were nervous. You did an awesome job, sir. And, buddy, because you're my best friend, you did a great job.
Yep, thank you.
You're welcome. This was an awesome show, wasn't it, guys? I really did enjoy this fantastic show. So we're going to take our last commercial break right now. And when we come back, I'm going to have some announcements and some awesome news to end the show. So stick around. We're back with more after our final commercial break of the evening, and I've got some wonderful announcements. We're also going to hear one more song during this commercial break, and this is one of my personal favorite songs, but I'll introduce it to you guys when the time comes.
Do you own a local fish store in your area? Do you own an online aquarium shop? Well, contact Aquatic Wetline at Outlook.com and get yourself a radio commercial advertising your business. The Aquatic Wetline is heard by over 200 people for each episode, so get your name out there. Please contact Aquatic Wetline at Outlook.com so we can advertise your business. We advertise fish stores, aquarium shops, YouTube channels, and anything in the freshwater and saltwater fish keeping hobby. So if you're interested in advertising your business, please contact us, aquaticwetline@outlook.com, and we will prepare you with an awesome commercial for this show.
Would you like your topical fish question answered live on our Fish Keepers United Question and Answer? Then send all of your tropical fish questions to aquaticwetline@outlook.com. You can ask any freshwater or saltwater questions you have. We look forward to answering your questions, so submit them to aquaticwetline@outlook.com. No question is too dumb. We'll answer them all. So send them in right now.
would you like to be a guest on the Fish Keepers United series? This series has become very successful after our first 4 episodes. I love interviewing fish keepers. So, if you're a fish keeper and you're interested in asking Aqua Alex questions, and you're interested in Aqua Alex asking you questions, please contact Aqua Alex so you can be booked on the Fish Keepers United series. Contact Aqua Alex at aquaticwetline@outlook.com. That's aquaticwetline@outlook.com. Or you can message him on his personal Facebook account, Aqua Alex Cardinelli on Facebook. We look forward to seeing you on Fish Keepers United.
Hey! Call it all fish keepers! Join the Aquatic Wetline live on Wednesday, March 18th, 2015 at 8 p.m. Eastern as Oscar Alex and Discus Man William T. will have a no-holds-barred fight live on the Aquatic Wetline. That's right. Oscar Alex and Discus Man William T. are going to do battle. They're going to have a debate on monster fish versus feeder fish. And by feeder fish, we're not talking about feeder guppies or feeder goldfish. We're talking about the small fish that live in community aquariums. Which side of the fence are you on? Are you for monster fish or are you for feeder fish? Join us live Wednesday, March 18th, 2015 for a discussion on monster fish and feeder fish. Some of the topics we're going to talk about are, is it morally right to feed monster fish smaller fish? Why does Aqua Alex like monster fish? And much more. So join this fun show live March 18th. At 8 p.m. Eastern, you're welcome to call in and be a part of this great show and let your voice be heard on Monster Fish and Feeder Fish. Anyone who calls into the show will be played on our 150th episode as one of our best callers on the Aquatic Wetline history. So join us live March 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern for Monster Fish versus Feeder Fish. And Discus Man William T, be prepared because I will eat you.
Are you ready for the Aquatic Wetline to make history?
But I just gotta know one thing. Are you ready? I said, are you ready?
Well then, join us on Saturday, March 21st, 2015 at 8 p.m. Eastern as the Aquatic Wetline will be celebrating its 150th episode. We're going to celebrate our 150th episode with some prizes in each hour. We're going to have a 2-hour extravaganza with prizes for all you, the listeners. Hikari is sponsoring the first half of the show, and I'm sponsoring the second half of the show. There is prizes for everyone, so make sure you call in to win yourself a prize on Saturday, March 21st, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Also, on our 150th episode, we're going to have a blast from the past, and I'm going to make a very special announcement that's going to shake Blog Talk Radio to its foundation. So join us live for our 150th episode on Saturday, March 21st, for prizes, special announcement, and a very special guest. Live March 21st is our 150th episode, so be there. Be there as the Aquatic Wetline makes it big time, live Saturday, March 21st, 8 p.m. Eastern, for our 150th episode.
Okay, and our final music for today's show is one of my personal favorite songs, and it's called Blame It on the Alcohol. So let's hear it, folks.
Blame it on the booze, got you feeling loose too. Blame it on the drugs, got you feeling gone. Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the alcohol. It's since you usually don't, but I know that she front. Cause all they know what she want, but she don't want to seem like she easy. I hate saying what you won't do, but you know we're probably gon' do what you've been feeling deep inside. Don't let it out now. Girl, what you drinking? Don't let it sink in. Here for the weekend, thinking we can be what we can be if we fast forward. Just one more round and you're down out the door. Fill another cup up, feeling on your butt. What? You don't even care that I was unaware. I find you was before my birthday. My birthday. Blame it on the booze.
we're now back here live on the Aquatic Wetline, and what a wonderful show this was. So I hope all of our listeners enjoyed this show, and most importantly, I hope all our beginners who listen to the show have learned a lot and are more eager to enter the fish-keeping hobby now and enjoy this hobby. And again, if anyone has any questions, you can always contact me at aquaticwetline@outlook.com. That's aquaticwetline@outlook.com. Or tweet me at AlexCardinelli1 on Twitter. That's at AlexCardinelli1 on Twitter, capital E in Alex and capital C in Cardinelli. And Cardinelli is spelled Cardinal with E at the end. Or contact me here on Blog Talk Radio, or contact me on Facebook. I'm Alex Cardinelli on Facebook. All right, so I figured before we end the show, I'd have a couple of announcements and a couple of plugs for you guys here on the Aquatic Wetline. The first announcement is that my co-host for Wednesday, Discus Man William T., will be on our show tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern, and Discus Man William T. and myself are going to be talking about fish food. And this is one of William T.'s final shows here on the Aquatic Wetline because he has his own network that he's going to be focusing on, and he's going to be doing shows on Wednesdays and such. So this Wednesday, March 11th, tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern, William and I are going to be talking about fish food, which is very important in the aquarium hobby as well. We'll talk about how to feed your fish, what to feed your fish, and much more live tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then William's final show with the Aquatic Wetline is going to be Wednesday, March 18th, 2015. So next Wednesday, March 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern, I've got a very special show. I've got monster fish versus feeder fish, and by feeder fish, we're talking about the community tetras and such. So I'm asking all my monster fish lovers to join me for this show. Call in and heckle William. Please call in and heckle William about liking feeder fish. 1-347-989-8142 on Wednesday, March 18th, and tell us why you love monster fish. But that's next week. That'll be a great show next Wednesday as William's final show here on the Aquatic Wetline. What are your thoughts on that,
Jeff? Let's go monster fish. I said, let's go monster fish.
Exactly. I'm in the same boat as you, Oscars Rock, and I guess guppies and community fish drool.
Now I've kind of got into the smaller fish now.
Oh,
I still
boy,
love my
but,
Oscars.
But you're still a monster fish, right?
Yeah, if my little fish give me any trouble, they know where they're going to go.
Oscar's belly, Oscar's lunch, or Oscar's dinner.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I like all fish.
Well, I do too. I'm just doing the show for fun. I actually like some of the smaller fish, like
yeah,
the
Romeo's like
tetras.
That you can, I like fish that you don't need binoculars to see.
That's what I said to William. I want to see fish. I don't want to see something under a microscope.
Yeah, there's Oscars are awesome and smaller fish are awesome.
Very true. I like to be able to think with catfish and neon tetras and things of that nature. So our monster versus feeder fish is going to be an awesome show. And speaking of awesome shows, our 150th episode is just 9 episodes away. 9 episodes away. Can you guys believe it? Today is our 141st episode. Now, as I've said 1,000 times here on the Aquatic Wetline, I'm going to have 4 prizes from Ikari Sales USA, a couple of prizes from myself personally, a very big special announcement, and a very big special surprise guest, and much more on our 150th episode, including a blast from the past and much more. So make sure you guys are prepared for our 150th episode, which is going to be airing live Saturday, March 21st, 2015, at 8 p.m. Eastern. I'm really looking forward to this show. It's going to be a great episode for the Aquatic Wetline. So, Jeff, are you looking forward to the 150th episode?
Yes, I am. I listen to the archive version of the 50th episode. I listen live to the 100th episode, and I can't wait for the 150th.
Yes, it's going to be a true honor for the Aquatic Wetland, and I'm very proud to have you as a loyal listener and now a brand new co-host, because you're going to be co-hosting every week here on the Aquatic Wetland, right?
Yeah, and I promise I'm going to get better soon.
Okay, you're doing a fantastic job already, so I'm going to build some confidence in you and make you a wonderful co-host.
Sounds great.
Awesome. So one last announcement before we go, and this is for Jeff. Jeff, I want you to plug your wonderful YouTube channel, please.
It's SlashMaster1989 at YouTube. It's just a video of my fish, videos of my fish and product reviews. I'm going to be starting a planted tank soon, and I have a big announcement coming up on my channel, so check it out.
Awesome. So, my listeners of the Aquatic Wetline, please check out my best friend on YouTube, SlashMaster1989. Hit the subscribe button. He just hit 100 subscribers, so a big congratulations to my buddy Jeff. I also hit 100 subscribers as well, so check out my channel as well, called Aquatic Wetline on YouTube. Now, you're gonna be uploading a wonderful video tonight, right?
Yep.
Awesome.
I'm going to be uploading my shout-out to the Aquatic Wetline.
Oh, awesome. I can't wait for that. It's going to be a great shout-out. I can't wait to watch it, so all my listeners be able to see it as well.
Yeah, I live on the coast, so my internet's kind of slow, so it takes a while to upload.
Okay, no problem at all, sir. I just can't wait to see it. Well, I want to thank you for being such a great co-host. You did a fantastic job, sir.
Thank you. You did great as well.
Thank you, sir. And I want to thank all of our listeners who listened live and archived to the show today. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. It was an honor to broadcast for today's show. All right. So I want to thank you all for listening. If you guys enjoyed the show, please post it on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and copy and paste the show URL on social media. With that being said, I want to thank you all for listening. Good night, Jeff.
Good night, Alex. And remember, go monster fish.
Yes, that's correct. Go monster fish. And go fish keeping hobby. Beginners, join the fish keeping hobby today, because Jeff and I and the Aquatic Wetline are going to help you along the way. Tank on, everyone. I'm Alex Cardinale, and he's Flashmaster 1989 Jeff. And we say, good night, everyone. Take on.
Thank you for listening to Aquatic Wetline, your one-stop podcast for everything aquarium. Aqua Alex wants to thank you for listening. Return next time for a fun-filled episode. Please check us out on iTunes. Leave a good review if you enjoyed it. And like our fan page on Facebook called Aquatic Wetline Podcast. And join our fan group called Aquatic Wetline Radio Fan Group on Facebook. Until next time, goodbye, fish keepers. Tank on.